The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
This is the second last week in the book of Jonah. Buckle up. Here we go. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through to 4. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said? Lord, when I was still at home, this is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?"
You know, most people want to be successful. They want to be successful at something. And when we think about what success is, it is defined as an achievement of a personal goal. But each of you have got quite different personal goals. Different things you're aspiring towards, different things you're hoping for, different things that you're believing for. And so, as a result, you might look at someone else and say, they are really successful, according to your definition of success. Consider a barrister, someone who's maybe worked really, really hard. They've specialised in a certain area of law. They know their stuff in that area. They might have earned a lot of money along the way. And some people would say, oh, they're so successful. They've got a good car, a good house. They're working in a good law firm. But what they mightn't know is that that barrister might not measure success by wealth, but rather by which cases they've won or lost. For them, success is not wealth, it's about justice being done. Each person has their own definition of success. Now, if we look at Jonah chapter 3 in isolation from the rest of the book, you would look and you say, Jonah was an incredibly successful prophet. Because he went into Nineveh. Nineveh was a place where a city of the Assyrians. The Assyrians were known as violent, evil, wicked people. They were a hard group to preach to. And he went into that city and he brought the word of God. It was a really short message, but the people responded. All of the city started to fast, to pray, and to turn from their evil ways. They repented. It was an incredible response. So if you looked at the situation where Jonah went into a city and preached a message and a whole city responded, wouldn't you say that was the most successful campaign? Wouldn't you say that he would be such a successful prophet? In the eyes of many, he was. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. Well, why did he become angry? What is anger? Anger is an emotional reaction to things, people, or situations that we find threatening, frustrating, or unfair. So Jonah found this incredibly frustrating and very unfair. Well, what was wrong? Well, if we go back to the previous verse, that is Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, we see there it says, when God saw what they did, that is the Ninevites, and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Jonah was angry because God had not destroyed the Ninevites. In his mind, that was actually very wrong. Jonah believed that the evil Ninevites were so cruel to others that God should destroy them. But God had seen their repentance. And as a result of that, he had relented from destroying them, which was actually very good for the Ninevites, wasn't it? I mean, that's a good outcome for them. But for Jonah, that was actually really unfair. It was wrong. That's what he felt. He felt it was wrong. And it made Jonah angry. And he lashed out at God. We see he prayed to the Lord. It says he prayed, but really it's sort of a pretty angry prayer. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. In other words, Jonah's saying here, I knew you'd do that. I knew you wouldn't destroy them. And I didn't want to be part of what you were going to do. Give them a chance to repent, and they took it. They changed their behaviour. They didn't deserve that sort of mercy, God. That's why I fled to Tarshish. Isn't it interesting? In the first chapter of Jonah, we see that he fled. We get to the final chapter, we finally discover why. We finally discover that he fled to Tarshish because he didn't want to be part of giving the Ninevites an opportunity to change their behaviour and repent. Deep down, in other words, Jonah wanted them destroyed. That was his motive. But God hadn't done what Jonah wanted him to do. So sometimes when people are arguing, some people sort of throw back at the person they're arguing with. They throw back their own words. Ever experienced that or seen that? Well, that's what happens now. Jonah throws God's goodness back at him. So he's praying to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That's what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. So those words may sound somewhat familiar to those who are familiar with the scriptures. And that's because they occur many times throughout scripture. Let's go back to the very first time that we see them. It's in the story of Exodus chapter 33 and 34. Now, it's a time when Israel has actually been worshipping the golden calf. God is understandably upset with them. And in Exodus 33, the Lord had promised that his presence would go with Moses. And God came down to Moses in his glory. And we read in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, he, that is the Lord, passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. That's the first time we see these words in scripture, but they are repeated again and again in many different books of the Bible. They describe the very nature of God. These words become like a creed. A creed is like an I believe statement. And so these words become a creed to the people of Israel. It's a statement of their belief about who God is. They declare that God is compassionate to those who are suffering. They declare that God offers grace to those who don't deserve it. It declares that God is slow to become angry. It declares that God is abounding in love and faithfulness. And these words first appear in a passage of scripture that describes that God's presence would go with Moses. If we go back to Jonah chapter 1, what was Jonah fleeing? He was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. That's what it said twice. It said that Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Exodus 33 and 34, where these words appear, is about God's presence. It's about God's presence going forward. God's presence is associated with God's character. These words of being compassionate and gracious, of being slow to anger, of abounding in love and faithfulness. See, Jonah couldn't run from that. In fact, he'd been the recipient of it. In Jonah chapter 2, we see Jonah's been thrown over the side of the ship and he's sinking down in the waters. He's about to drown and die. And God, in his grace, sends a fish to save Jonah's life. The irony now is that Jonah is angry because God is gracious and saves the lives of many Ninevites. Why would Jonah want God to be gracious to him and not to others? I mean, that's what it's saying. And it comes back to this declaration that God is abounding in love and faithfulness. That expression, love and faithfulness, comes from one Hebrew word. It's the word hesed. We've talked about it in previous messages, like when we did a series on Ruth. We saw the word hesed there, came a number of times. Hesed can be translated as a loyal love. It can be translated as a faithful love, as a covenantal love, a love of covenantal faithfulness. Hesed here is describing this covenantal faithfulness that God has with his people. And Jonah could not fathom that God would extend his love and faithfulness beyond people who were the Israelites. How could God be loving and faithful to Gentiles? And particularly to the Assyrians. They were a wicked, violent group of people. How could God be loving and faithful to them? The very thought of that was messing with Jonah's head. What's really interesting, though, is that Jonah didn't quote the full extent of Exodus 34. He quoted the first part, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love. He left off the rest of the sentence. The rest of the sentence says that God is maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. God would maintain his love to thousands, in fact to 120,000 Ninevites. He would forgive their extreme wickedness, their rebellion and sin. That's what God did for the Ninevites. Jonah didn't like that part of Scripture, so he left it out. There's a danger where you take part of Scripture, the bit you like, and you hang on to that, but you just don't include the bit you don't like. But Jonah's primary complaint was that he'd understood God's abounding love and faithfulness, this hesed, covenantal love, he'd assumed that that was restricted to the Israelites. See, he was very patriotic. We've seen that as we've gone through this series. He was a very patriotic prophet. He believes God's character of being compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness was well and good when it was extended to the Israelites. But it shouldn't be extended to any other nation. For other nations, God should not maintain his love to them. He should not forgive their wickedness, rebellion and sin. Instead, he thought God should judge them with wrath and fury. So to Jonah, what God did seemed very wrong. And he became angry. He was angry with God. Because God wasn't doing what Jonah thought God should do. There's an interesting thought. Jonah thought God was being unjust by relenting and letting these formerly wicked and evil Ninevites go away unpunished. Jonah thought they should have been destroyed. But see, Jonah's problem was that he did not fully understand the character of God, and he did not fully understand the word of God. Because God's love is for all of creation. Do you ever get angry at God when he doesn't do what you think he should do? Oh God, I think you should answer my prayer this way. And then God doesn't. And how do you respond? Do you ever get angry at God because the way you've interpreted Scripture means that you say to God, well, your Scripture says this, so God, you have to do that. But maybe you haven't taken the whole sentence of Scripture, the whole verse, the whole passage in context. Or maybe you've misunderstood it. And that was Jonah's problem. He did not fully understand God's character. He did not fully understand God's word. And sometimes that's our problem also. And then there was another problem for Jonah. We see this problem when we look at his prayer. And we ask, who's the centre of this prayer? To help you answer that, I've highlighted it. He prayed to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. In the original language, in the Hebrew language, the word I occurs 9 times in that prayer. It's like Jonah saying, I knew you were going to do this from the very beginning, God. I knew. I knew what would happen if I obeyed you. I knew I couldn't trust you to do what I thought you should do. There's the problem. Jonah was focused on himself. He was focused on his own will rather than God's will. This idea of our will versus God's will comes through really clearly when Jesus is in the garden at Gethsemane. When Jesus is in the garden, he also is praying to God. But his prayer was this, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. When we put this in context, this is Jesus praying this, going to his death to save the lives of many others. Compared to Jonah, whose life had just been saved from death, and now he's complaining because God's going to save the lives of many others from death. Imagine if Jonah, instead of fleeing Nineveh, had actually stayed and discipled the people of Nineveh. I mean, he just brought a prophetic word and 120,000 people had given their lives to the Lord. Imagine if he'd stayed and discipled those people. Or imagine if instead of him complaining at God, he'd rejoiced at what God did and went into this situation with a joyful heart, seeing the goodness of God in saving the lives of these people. What if he'd prayed, yet not as I will, but as you will? What a change there might have been. But instead, Jonah continued to believe that he knew best. He believed he knew right from wrong, good from evil, which is exactly the same problem that has always been around ever since Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden when there's this conversation with a snake. And in that conversation, the serpent says, you will not certainly die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they thought they could be like God. They thought they would know right from wrong, good from evil. And now we find Jonah in exactly the same situation, where he is trying to be God. He's trying to determine what is right and what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. Here is Jonah quoting scripture at God to tell God what Jonah thinks is right and wrong. To tell God how he thinks God's meant to behave. And to tell God who God should direct his love and grace and compassion towards. In other words, Jonah here has elevated himself above the position of God. And Jonah's self-righteousness here actually becomes idolatry. He is putting himself in a position where he has elevated himself above God. That's called idolatry. Idolatry of self. His own self-righteousness made him think that his views were more important and more correct than God's. What's interesting is that when Jonah was in the belly of the fish, he'd actually talked about idolatry. If we go back and look at that verse, chapter 2, verse 8, he said, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. So back there, Jonah was saying that if you put idols first, you are turning your back on God's love. And this is exactly what Jonah is now doing. Jonah's turning away from God towards his own views. And the irony is that the Ninevites have turned away from God. They've now turned to God and repented. And in response to that, Jonah actually turns his back away from God. And he becomes angry at God. Jesus tells an amazing parable. It's quite similar to this in some ways. It's the story of a brother who gets very angry at his father because the father is loving and gracious and compassionate. We call this the parable of the loving father. Some people know it as the parable of the prodigal son. And in that passage we read how the older brother, like Jonah, became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. So in this parable, the older brother is angry at his father who is loving and gracious and compassionate towards the younger brother. Now sure, the younger brother's been disrespectful. He's wasted the wealth of the father. He's come home and the father in his grace and compassion did not punish him. The older brother was angry because he thought that he was the one who deserved all the father's wealth. He was the one who his father should have been generous to and given a goat so he could celebrate with his friends. See the focus on himself? Just like Jonah. It's about what I want. It's about what I feel. It's about how I should be able to celebrate. The younger brother is telling the father how the father should have treated him. And so the older brother is angry that the younger brother is given a new life as part of the family. And in his mind, it wasn't fair. In his mind, he is angry at the father for being loving and gracious and compassionate. Just like Jonah was angry at God. Because God had not punished the Ninevites. He'd given them a second chance. And Jonah thought that God's love and grace and compassion was only meant for Israel. But God had extended it to the Ninevites. In Jonah's mind, it wasn't fair. It wasn't just. And he's so angry at God. He is so angry that he says to God, now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. Again, let's go back to chapter 2. In Jonah chapter 2, Jonah is so thankful to God for saving his life. Now, chapter 4, he's saying, God, take my life. What's he want? Save his life or take his life? But as we saw earlier, Jonah has turned his back on God. And so he's saying to God, take my life. How do you react when God doesn't do what you think he should do? Do you ask him what his will is and how you can align with that? Or do you become angry at God? Because God, you haven't answered my prayer. You haven't answered it the way I think you should answer it. You haven't done what I think you should do. The risk is that we can be like a Jonah, we can be like the older brother. That we become angry at the father. rather than saying, God, what's your will? God, what's your character? How do I align with who you are? We can even become angry at those that God has saved, that God has forgiven. When we think about God forgiving, it reminded me of when Jesus was on the cross. And when Jesus was on the cross, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you're under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus gave eternal life to that thief. And typically we read that passage and we rejoice. We rejoice because God is loving and gracious and compassionate and willing to forgive those who have been wicked and rebellious and sinful. But what about the fact that that thief, there were victims that he'd stolen from? How did they feel at the fact that God had forgiven him? Or some people would say, but hang on, it's not fair. That thief didn't have the opportunity to make amends for the wrong that he'd done. Surely there should have been restitution. Surely there should have been evidence of repentance. But that's not our place to judge. God, who is loving and gracious and compassionate, offered forgiveness to that thief. Forgiveness and eternal life. This passage reveals the character of God. Loving, gracious, compassionate, extending love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. This is the beauty of who God is. Redemption is available, not because we deserve it, but because of the character of God and who he is. And Jonah couldn't get his head around that. Jonah couldn't get his head around the fact that God is one of love and grace and compassion for the Ninevites as well as the Israelites. And he is angry. But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" You know, Jonah took the words of God, the very character of God, and threw it back at God in his face. Maybe you've ever been in an argument with someone and you've taken their words and you've thrown it back at them. You don't have to admit it. But some of you might have done it. And God could have rebuked Jonah for being angry with him. In fact, the word angry here is better translated to burn. Means to burn with anger. And yet God's character, slow to anger. God did not escalate the argument. Rather, he turned it around with a question. Is it right for you to be angry? Now, anger is not necessarily wrong. There is what we call righteous anger and unrighteous anger. Righteous anger is where an injustice has been perpetrated, where a situation is not aligned with God's will or God's way. Jesus himself expressed righteous anger. Anger can be righteous. But in this case, Jonah had unrighteous anger. He was not aligned with God's character. He was not aligned with God's will. Why? Because you see, his anger was caused by a false understanding of God's character. It came from a wrong interpretation of God's word and from only quoting part of it, not the whole context of it. And so God had every right to rebuke Jonah, but he didn't. By asking him a question, he's saying, Jonah, pause and reflect. Stop and think about why you are angry. And there's a lesson in that for us. Then when we are questioning God, pause and reflect and ask, are we right to be angry? God, are we aligned with your will? Are we aligned with your character? Or is there something in us that still needs to be aligned with who you are? As we look back through these four verses, there's just so much in this. And I know the font here is a bit small as we summarise, but I just want to pull out these key points. Jonah was angry at God, not because God, Jonah was angry at God because God had not done what he thought God should do. God, I thought you should do this and you didn't. And I'm angry at you because of it. Do you get angry at God when he doesn't do what you think he should do? When he doesn't answer your prayer the way you think he should answer it? Do we truly know God's character? Do we understand that God is compassionate? He is gracious. He is slow to anger. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. That God maintains his love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. If we can get hold of that character, if we can understand that character of God, and if we can start to align ourselves with that, it changes so much in our lives and the lives of those around us. And so therefore, is our prayer to know and do God's will, that we might pray like Jesus, not my will but yours? Or are we like the older brother? Are we angry and focused on self? In other words, do we get upset when God gives someone else another chance? That was Jonah's problem. He was upset that God gave them another chance. But on the other hand, he didn't go and disciple them. He didn't rejoice over it. How do we respond when God gives someone another chance? And will we allow God to ask us, is it right for you to be angry? When we push back at God, and there's times it's appropriate to be able to express to God your feelings, your true feelings, absolutely. But will we pause and reflect? Will we ask ourselves that question, God, am I aligned with your will? God, am I actually aligned with your character? Do I understand your character? What's it look like for me today to live according to your character? Is there something in me that still needs to be aligned with who you are in me? So let's take a minute and allow in this minute just to stop and say, God, what are you saying to me today? And what would you have me do in response to that? Oh Lord, we are so grateful. You are a God who is gracious. We need your grace. We're so thankful that you're compassionate towards us. We need your compassion. Lord, we're so thankful that you're slow to get angry with us, because we keep doing it, things that aren't right. We keep doing it again and again, and you're patient with us. Lord, we thank you for your deep love, faithful love, covenantal love with us. We thank you, Lord, that it's not just love for us, it's love for all of your creation. And we want to thank you that you forgive rebellion, wickedness and sin, because, well, there are times where each of us have been rebellious, where we've done things that are wicked, we've done things that are sinful. And so we are so thankful, Lord, that in your character of who you are, that you forgive us. We thank you that Jesus went to the cross for us, that he said, not my will, but your will, that he was willing to give up his life that we might have life. And through that, that we can come to you, our Father. Lord, help us to not be Jonah or the older brother who gets angry when we see those who've been likewise sinners and likewise rebellious and likewise wicked or evil, and we go, oh, but why would you save them, Lord? But we thank you that you do. And we are sorry, Lord, for where we have made judgment calls against them or against you, where they have come to you and received your forgiveness and your salvation. Help us to be able to rejoice in that, that they were given a second chance, just as you gave us a second chance. Help us, Lord, to be increasingly aligned in the way we live our lives. Help us to be aligned with your character, with who you are. Thank you that your Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us and helps us to become more like you. Help us to continue on that journey more and more, that we would be increasingly aligned with who you are in us, with your way for us, that we'd increasingly understand your word and we would take the whole of your word in context and live it in a way that will cause thousands around us to also know the truth of who you are, that they too might be saved, that they too might come into relationship with you, and that we would rejoice in that and celebrate in that. And so, Lord, come. In your mercy and in your grace, in your love and in your compassion, that we would be the people you call us to be, living to bring glory and honour to your name. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.